Good morning, Ken.
Hi, John. Great to talk to you again.
It's your old neighbour, John, here. It's the monthly interview, as ever. Good to catch up with you again. I've been very aware that you've had a lot of recent stomach problems, and this has put you quite some behind schedule for reaching Hong Kong and getting out of China before the visa expires. You emailed me a while back talking about trains, planes and automobiles, and I'm aware from a blog recently that you've caught a plane somewhere, but what's going on exactly?
Well, the full story will come out shortly on the blog, a little piece called Planes, Trains and Automobiles, inspired by the 1987 John Candy film with the same name. In my short homage, I left Emma, my trusty steed, safely in the city of Wuhan and flew down to Hong Kong to pick up my other passport, complete with a fresh Chinese visa. Then back north and a return to the road.
Well, in that case, we wish you the best of luck with the rest of the Chinese leg of the journey. Now, I know recently that you got to see the fascinating Terracotta Army, and I hadn't realised until your recent email and blog that when it was first discovered, it was largely in pieces and then painstakingly reassembled. I'm really keen to know what you made of all of this.
I was surprised to discover that there wasn't a single soldier found intact. Each and every one you see has been repaired. And this is work that still goes on today as they're continuing to excavate the site. A difficult and time-consuming task, which I think makes the sheer number of restored warriors on display all the more impressive. And I dare say you could actually have a go yourself. Roughly £1,000 buys you a full-size replica and shipping to the UK. And I think the chances of it arriving without needing a similar investment in superglue is pretty remote.
Well, if one turns up at your cottage, I'll let you know, certainly. Ken, I know that, again, from a recent blog, you've had a brush with Chinese bureaucracy. Perhaps this was a little bit similar to John Humphreys from the Radio 4 Today programme, who's been in China recently. Could you tell us a bit more about what's happened to you here?
Yes, I gathered John Humphreys was rather surprised at how relatively open Chinese society has become, foreigners, or aliens as we're termed, no longer being viewed with suspicion as was perhaps previously the case. And I've certainly found not just the people welcoming and friendly, but also officials, border guards, the police, sometimes even helping me find places to stop for the night. And it's been a consistent experience, even in parts of China where I think, you know, Westerners are still a relative rarity. True, they do like their bureaucracy, their official stamps on papers, but that applies to everyone, not just visitors. I don't feel like I'm being watched, and with over 500,000 visitors each year from the UK alone, that'd be a bit difficult anyway. But of course, if I was, and they're any good at it, I'm sure I wouldn't know.
Something which I hadn't, again, appreciated till recently was the sheer size of these cities that you're now regularly passing through. Many, you say, are the size of London or Manchester, and I'm really intrigued how you managed to do this in terms of finding directions, managing the road layout, managing the traffic. I mean, I guess it can't all be bikes there, and just general cycle safety on the road.
It's very much the case now that each day I regularly ride through places that dwarf the likes of, say, Taunton or Bristol, and don't even feature on my map. And the cities are getting bigger. Wuhan, I visited recently, for example, topping 9 million. If I'm simply passing through rather than stopping, things are actually relatively easy, navigationally at least. I just stick to the road I'm on. But if I'm to spend the night, this generally means heading towards the centre in search of a cheap hotel. And it's often far from obvious as to exactly where that might be amongst all the busy roads and the traffic. With daylight hours short, I tend to worry about finding somewhere to sleep first, and then work out using GPS and Google Earth where I actually am, what I now call forensic navigation. But finding your way is one thing, safe riding quite another. Urban cycling, I think, in much of China is probably amongst the most dangerous I've ever encountered. I think their road sense is, you know, virtually non-existent. So much so, I've got plans now to strap my video camera to the bike at some point and film the view from the handlebars to convince people. But if there's a trick to staying alive in the towns and cities, it's actually to ride in the outside lanes amongst the cars and the lorries, away from the random traffic that drifts on and off the highways. And not generally difficult to match the pace. It's really about what I call having road presence. You make sure you're visible, people that are aware that you're there. What can I say? So far, so good.
Well, we hope that you finish again this Chinese leg of the journey without any mishaps on the road. Thinking about the sort of Chinese news in the UK media now, a lot of it at the moment is focused on their growing economy and very topically for their current attention of the 2010 Nobel Peace Prize winner. Are you aware of much UK news in the Chinese media?
Stories about the UK actually do often feature in the Chinese media's English language services, especially the China Daily newspaper and Chinese Central Television's CCTV Channel 9 news service, I think usually because of London's role as a world financial centre. And a few stories do make it into the mainstream media here, David Cameron's recent visit, for example, and of course the forthcoming royal wedding did make a few headlines. I think probably because most of the inevitable mountain memorabilia for that event will probably be made here, I'm sure.
Oh, well, in that case, perhaps you can sign a few of these royal wedding coffee mugs and so on while you're in China. I mean, on a lighter note, and perhaps related to this, we do get some very cheap and tacky tourist souvenirs in Europe. And I'm wondering if you've found some similar award winners in China that could compete against these.
I've actually seen remarkably little tat, but I think that's probably because, except for the Terracotta Army, my route has largely kept me away from the usual tourist sites. And even then, if I had the means to carry one, I might have been tempted by a small, decent replica warrior. It's something I could actually see fitting into my cottage. But as for all those lovely, tacky souvenirs you find back in Europe, I suspect, though, that most of them are probably made just around the corner from where I'm sat now.
Ken, the last question to you today, it's from Ella, who's in the studio with me.
Are you noticing any changes in China on a long journey?
Very definitely, both in terms of the geography, the terrain, the climate, and the culture. There's been the bleak, barren deserts, the likes of the Gobi in the west, replaced now by much greener cultivated land, although no rice fields as yet. Cooler as well, high teens, so pretty pleasant for riding. Mandarin remains the main language, although I think that's likely to change shortly as I head south to Hong Kong, Cantonese taking over, as will the weather becoming a bit warmer and humid as well. Lots of small cultural changes, often quite subtle ones, except one, spitting in the street. Mostly men, but a few women as well. Almost endemic now, whereas in the west of the country it was fortunately a relative rarity.
Well, we hope you manage to stay out of the firing line for that while you're in China. Would you like to finish this month's interview with the usual plug for the website and also talk about the Outward Bound Trust, Ken?
You can follow my antics, subscribe to the blog, watch the videos, see the photos, even see exactly where I've been courtesy of GPS via my website at www.acrosscontinent.org, that's O-R-G. And there you can also make a secure donation to the UK charity for whom I'm seeking to raise at least £1 for every mile cycled, the Outward Bound Trust, that does some really great work helping young people unlock their potential.
Well, Ken, Anton's got another disc lined up to play for us all. It's time for us to say goodbye again. We'll speak and email each other soon. But this month, the final words to you come from Ella. Goodbye, Ken. See you soon.
Thanks, John. And Anton, of course, for all his technical wizardry in the background. Very much, of course, looking forward to chatting next month when I should be safely down in Hong Kong.
Goodbye, Ken. And we've chosen a good song for you. It's from my pretty awesome CD. It's called Falling Into History. Bye-bye, Ken. Good luck.
Don't matter what people say. I never do believe them. I know they know everything. I'll be alright by myself. And no one's gonna tell me I didn't find, confined by myself, and no one's gonna tell me I'm defined, confined by love.